television, huh? It's, nationwide or worldwide? Worldwide or nationwide? Worldwide. Okay. YouTube. Huh. Jai Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari. Jai. Jai Gopi Janavallabha Giri Vardhanari. Jai Gopi. Jai Gopi Janavallabha Giri Vardhanari. Jai Gopi. Giri. Yasoda Nandana Raja Janahanjanaya. Yasoda Nandana Raja Janahanjanaya. Jamuna Thira Havana Jahari Jamuna Thira Havana Jamuna Thira Havana. Jai Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari. Jai Gopi Janavallabha Giri Vardhanari. Giri Vardhanari. Jai Gopi Janavallabha Giri Vardhanari. Giri. Rijasoda Nandana Raja Janahanya. Yasoda Nandana Raja Janahanya. Jamuna Thira Havana Jahari Jamuna Thira. Jamuna Thira Havana Jahari Jamuna. Jai Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari. Madhavam. Hey, Jai Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari. Kuncha Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Rivo. Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Yo, hey, Rama, Rama, hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Nithai Gaur. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Nithai Gaur. Yeva Hare Thai Gar Hare Va Hare Va Hare Va Hare Va Hare Thai Gar Hare Va Hare Va Hare Va Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Go Premanande Srila Prabhupada, Acharya Stotra Sattva Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Vat Paramahams Parivachak Acharya Stotra Sattva Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His Confounder Acharya, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Raj Granth Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Kishore Kishore Ki. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Gornitai Ki Shri Mahamantra Ki Tai Go Premanande. Glories to the assembled devotees, glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Someone please tell me the verse. It is it 29? 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, word for word is really, really long. Okay, Evam, Hesu, all well qualified. Swatana Yesu, his own sons. Ata, thereafter. Jagati Pati, the universe. Arbudani, Arbudas, one Arbuda equals 100 million. One Arbuda equals 100 million. How much it's, Arbuda is measured as 100 million. Ekadasi, 11. Parivatsaranam, of years. Avyahata, without being interrupted. Akila, universal. I can't hear anybody. Nobody's chanting. It's like two people chanting. Where the rest of you are chanting like Mona Brata, all in your mind. It's nice to chant loudly so they can hear you in Mayapur. Purusha, prowess. Sara, strength. Samrita, endowed with. Dondanda, of powerful arms. Yugala, by the pair. Apidita, being drawn. Malviguna, of the ground. Viramita, defeated. Dharma, religious principles. Pratipaksha, those who are against. Bahismata, of his wife Barhismati.
Cha,
and Udinam, daily. Ekamana, increasing. Pramoda, pleasing intercourse. Prasaranam, amiability. Yausinya, feminine behavior. Vridha, by shyness. Pramusita, held back. Hasa, laughing. Avaloka, glance. Ruchira, pleasing. Shevali Abdibi, by exchanges of loving propensities. Parabhuyamana, being defeated. Viveka, his true knowledge. Eva, like. Anavabhuyamana, a less intelligent person. Eva, like. Mahamana, translation purport, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation, after Kavi, Mahavirya, and Savana were completely trained in the Paramahansa stage of life, Maharaj Priyavrata ruled the universe for 11 Arbudas of years. Wow, that's like 1 billion, 100 million years. Whoa. It's a long time to be around. What if you get pensioned at that age? And his bowstring, with his two powerful arms, all opponents of the regulative principles of the religious life would flee from his presence in fear of the unparalleled presence, prowess he displayed in ruling the universe. He greatly loved his wife, Barhismati, and with the increase of days, their exchange of nuptial love also increased. by her feminine behavior as she dressed herself, walked, got up, smiled, laughed, and glanced about. Queen Varhismati increased his energy. Thus, although he was a great soul, he appeared lost in the feminine conduct of his wife. He behaved with her just like an ordinary man, but actually he was a great soul. Purport. In this verse, the word dharma pratipaksha, opponents of religious principles, refers not to a particular faith, but to vanashram dharma, the division of society, socially and spiritually, into four varnas, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, and sudra, and the four ashramas, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasa. To maintain proper social order and help the citizens gradually progress towards the goal of life, namely spiritual understanding, the principles of vanashram dharma must be accepted. From this verse, Maharaj Priyavrata appears to have been so strict in maintaining this institution of vanashram dharma that anyone neglecting it would immediately flee from his presence as soon as the king warned him by fighting or by administering light punishment. Indeed, Maharaj Priyavrata would not have to fight, for simply because of his strong determination, they dare not disobey the rules and society of cats and dogs. Maharaj Priyavrata therefore strictly maintained his extraordinary unparalleled prowess to maintain such a life restriction. One needs encouragement from his wife. In the vanashram dharma system, certain classes such as the brahmanas and sannyasis do not need encouragement from the opposite sex. Kshatriyas and grihasthas, however, actually need the encouragement of their wives in order to execute their duties. Indeed, a grihastha or a kshatriya cannot properly execute his responsibilities without the association of his wife. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally admitted of many wives to encourage them in discharging the duties of government. The association of a good wife is necessary in a life of karma. Wife Varhismati was always very expert in measures. This verse, Eva has twice been indicated that Maharaj Priyavrata acted exactly like a henpecked husband, and therefore seemed to have lost his sense of human responsibility. Actually, however, he was fully conscious of his position as a spirit soul, although he seemingly behaved like an acquiescent karmi husband. Maharaj Priyavrata thus ruled the universe for 11 arbutas of years. One arbuta consists of 100 million years, and Maharaj Priyavrata ruled the universe for 11 such arbutas. Whoa! Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jara Salakaya Chaksu Unbilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Having a ruler who was so powerful that even his enemies or those who dared to go against his rule were very much hesitant to do so and many times decided not to. And it's not about criminals or dacoits. It's about not following the principles that Krishna has established in the Gita, and the Acharyas have mentioned in other places, as how to organize society in such a way that society is moving forward, both material and spiritually. Not just spiritually, but materially also. So therefore, the vanashram system is fundamental for social and spiritual organization. One, how to engage people according to their guna and karma,
their qualities and their nature, or their activities and their nature, and how to organize that in such a way that people will enter into one of the four ashrams, either brahmacharya, grihastha, after grihastha, then there's vanaprast, and of course there's the sannyas order. Of course, in those days, nobody took sannyas very early in life. It was only a rare few people. Usually everyone followed the progression of an ashram. And after going through training as a brahmachari, living their life through grihastha life, they'd retire from that, then sannyas was there. I was reading last night, Prabhupada's talking about vanashram, vanaprastha. He said vanaprastha means you just leave your home with your wife, and you go traveling. And the wife serves the husband and assistant, and they work together in spiritual life, but they just live together. It's fixed and mature. The wife goes to a holy place and serves the deity very nicely, engages in devotional service, and the man takes sannyas, like that. So Vedic culture is human culture. Western culture is animal culture, because there's no culture. When you have no culture, you have animals. So this society is a society, as Prabhupada used to say, hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. And he said, if I call you a hog or a dog, I actually give you some compliment. Because actually you haven't even made it that far yet. Because people don't even know. A hog and a dog will act like a hog and a dog. But when a human being acts like a hog and a dog, then that's a bad imitation. And it's persons in the human form to live like that. So we have a very dysfunctional society today. It's so dysfunctional, it's chaotic. Prabhupada used to use the word pandemonium. You know, if you know the word, if you break it up, pan means array, A-R-R-A-Y. And demonium means demon. So pandemonium is an array of demons, that's all. That's what the word means. And Prabhupada said, this is possible, sleeping as much as they can, having sex whenever they want, no regulation, and whoever's around. And the last thing is defending, is there's locks. There's even locks on your bedroom door. There's locks on everything. So much defense, right? So many lock shops, right? Lock this, lock that, keys. If you want to make a lot of money, just become a key business maker. You can make so many keys, right? It's defense. Everybody's defending, right? So it's just a regulator in order to Brahmajigyasa. To ask the question, what is my relationship with God, and how can I fulfill that relationship? That's human life. That's the beginning. If you haven't done that, you haven't made it to human life yet. Really, you're aspiring for a human life, but you haven't made it. So this is the society we live in today. And therefore, unless it's so topsy-turvy, you can't even sort it out, better just to chant, spread the holy name, that's the panacea for all ills. But in 1974, he changed. Prabhupada changed his whole preaching point and said, now we must do it. Otherwise, even in our own society, we're losing devotees because they come in, they're chanting, but they're not engaged properly. They want them to organize people according to their natures and situate them in an ashram where they can make spiritual progress. And then in 1976, Prabhupada said, I have one regret. And the devotee said, because you have not finished Srimad Bhagavatam? Prabhupada said, no, because I have not established the Vanashram system in our society. And so he said, this is the job of us to somehow or other arrange our society according to Vanashram. That means engage people according to their natures and situate them according to their ashrams. And that has to be done by the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas are supposed to be the leaders where they can guide and train. Brahmanas are guidance and training. How to train people, how to guide people like that. That's the duty of a Brahmana. And to also give spiritual philosophical education. That's all. It's not that they have to do so many other things. But if they're doing that, they're doing a lot. So this is what Prabhupada wanted for our society. It says here that Priyavrata, when he saw people deviating from these principles, he was ready to fight. That's how strong of a ruler he was. He was determined because he understood the importance of Vanashram Dharma. So society was organized in that way. Just like sometimes we send our kids to Gurukul school and we put them all together. But we see some kids are very studious and others are just, you know, they're just figuring how to blow up the schoolhouse, you know. Because they got that fighting nature. And some kids are different. If you analyze the children at a young age, you'll start to see their qualities come out. It's not you wait till people grow up. That's the purpose of Gurukul, is to carefully evaluate and observe the children and see how to, you know, educate them accordingly. There was one Gurukula teacher that was complaining to Prabhupada. This boy, he just won't listen. He doesn't want to study. He doesn't want to obey. Prabhupada didn't put him to work. Why give him education if it's not working? Just get him some service. That's his nature. His nature maybe to be more active. You put him in the classroom and he's just like, you know, can't wait to get out of here. I mean, sometimes we force it, but to a certain degree, there should be some minimal education for each and every living being. But in some cases, the training comes in terms of their varna, or their nature, their occupation, their work, like that. So, but because the society is topsy-turvy, just like today we have people who are ruling the government. And what are they doing? They're simply taking your money, having big palatial buildings, nice things they live in, and they make a lot of promises, and nothing happens. Right? Because either they can't do it, or they just don't want to do it. They're not allowed to do it, for whatever reason. So these people that are ruling, they're not kshatriyas. A kshatriya has what we say, valor, courage, determination. He's got righteousness. He has such a mood of protecting others that his whole thing is to protect others. And he lives by religious principles. Now you got these leaders today, what do they do? At best, they're vaishyas, at best. They're businessmen running the government. They're seeing the government as an opportunity to make money, right? So, therefore, society's... But Prabhupada never gave him that much credit. He actually said, sudras and lower. They don't know the business of government, therefore they're exploiting everyone. And you see, after a few years, they're out. They're gone. Because they can't do their service, their work. And, you know, they're basically just exploiting others. So nobody wants them anymore. And they get the next set of exploiters to come in. And he does the same thing. Nobody's trained. So you wonder why society is so screwed up. It is. It's not only screwed up, it's inside out, upside down, backwards, and I don't know, three square times two. It's all over the place. There's no direction in today's society. Therefore, people are not happy. And nor can people, you know, you have people get jobs just doing anything, whatever makes money. Now, Prabhupada said, we must establish this in our society. The Brahmins must train others to, according to how they can be best trained to fill the services and to fill their guna and karma like that. And you see, when a person is engaged according to their guna and karma, they can do a wonderful service It doesn't matter what your guna karma is. Not that one is better than the other. That's not the point. It's that everyone has to be engaged accordingly. And people have propensities, as Krishna says, chaturvarnya mayasrista guna karma vibhaga saha. This system of the four, you know, varnas, I established that. It's me. Krishna's. It's coming from me. It's not coming from some social idea. It's actually coming from God Himself. That people have certain tendencies. And through training and education, they come out. That's why Prabhupada said, each and every temple, or at least in every major area, should have a Vanashram college. Where people can go and get training according to their guna and karma. And come out and do wonderful service. You know, you have a person who just doesn't have any brahminical tendencies, and you give him brahminical service. He makes a mess. He just makes a mess. And everybody suffers. Or somebody who is a kshatriya, and you put him in, you know, doing ordinary work, he's just going to get angry at everybody. He wants to protect people. He wants to organize things. He wants to do things in that way. It'll come out, but if it's not coming out in a Krishna conscious way, it'll come out in a perverted way. And that person won't benefit for it either, like that. So, this Vanashram sister is fundamental to progress in human society. And Prabhupada said, when we're organized that way, and we have our farm communities, which is the basis for the practice of Vanashram, then when society falls apart, people will come to our farms, and we can engage them, not in ashram, but in varna. We can put them to work according to their varna. And then after that, when they get engaged in varna, then we will teach them ashram. We will teach them about chanting. We will teach them about Krishna consciousness. But first, varna, not ashram. So, this is Prabhupada's program. And this is also in line with the Shastras. So, there is very little, when we say, Vanashram established within our society now. And there's some devotees who are really, really working full-time to try to do something in that area. But it can't be done in the cities. It has to be done in a more rural area. The city temples are meant for preaching, that's all. Why live in the cities? They're so hellish, right? Prabhupada said another name for a city is hell. This is hell. You go outside and the guys are walking down the street, you're thinking, I don't want to walk near that guy. I don't know what he's going to do to me. See, you know, it's like, he'll come up to you, hey, you want to buy some? $5 a hit. Something like that. So, you know, it's, you go out there and what do you get? You know, it's just like, it's hell. This is the society as hell. Cars, fume, pollution, air pollution, water pollution, food pollution, mind pollution, noise pollution, so many pollutions. And we're thinking, oh, I live in Chicago. I have another name for Chicago, but it's not very public. I shouldn't say it anyway. I know you can figure it out. So, it's just Hare Krishna. So farm life, simple life. This is how Krishna lived, and he wanted that established. It's not that we close the city temples, but we make the city temples simply a place of preaching. That's all. To invite people to come in, and the farms are where we can actually live and become progressive, in both our ashram and in our varna, like that. So, Priyavrata was very, very determined not to allow anyone to deviate from that principle. Otherwise, he was ready to conduct some kind of light punishment or fighting, Prabhupada says. Can't break it. In other words, if they were breaking Vanashram, It was against the law. It was against the law. Pretty heavy. So that's the way Vedic culture was. Okay, so there's two aspects to this particular purport. But before I go into the second one, I'd like to see if there's any questions. Yes. Is that working? It's not. Looks good. It's like the nipples on the neck of a goat, right? Doesn't do anything. Yeah. Which purport you want to know? Yeah, one should hear it, despite the fact that one is not up to the standard here. Yeah. Without peaceful people, you don't have a peaceful society. You're asking a question based on something that's not ideal. The solution is the ideal situation. But you want me to give you a compromise answer. Right? Because it's not ideal, what should we do? Just here. Is it working now? Okay. Just here. Just practice the process of hearing despite the dysfunctions of everything else around. Prabhupada said, somehow or other, just try to hear, even if you're not up to the standard for what is called hearing with rapt attention. That's the point. You can hear, but it's like you're half there and you're kind of like somewhere else also. When you can hear with rapt attention, that's really the perfection of hearing. You hear every word and you hear every point that's being made in relationship to what the speaker is trying to get across, not just the words, but the mood. Yeah. Just try to hear. What else can we say? Richard? Is it working? No. Oh, just speak real loud. Right. I wonder what the sages of Namisharanya had did in these cases. They fired the technician. That's all. Okay. Yes. So yeah, that's yeah. Okay. It's a way you can make progress. It's a way you can make progress. It's not a goal in itself. It's how to be situated in the best way you can practice your spiritual life and in the best way you can execute your nature in terms of the work you should be supposed to do. So therefore, in this age, it's Kalo Sudra Sambhava. Everyone is born Sudra. So does that mean everyone stays sudra? No. There's where training and education comes in. Once you have training and education, you can rise up to according to how best you can serve. Either as a Vaishya. Vaishya is more like a mercantile person. Good with money. Good with trade. Banking. Also good with farm activities like that. Commerce like that. Kshatriyas are temple presidents, managers, fighters, protectors, like that. Brahmanas are preachers, philosophers, guiding the other varnas in terms of how best that they can work. Sudras are engineers, like that. Yeah, it's sutra work. To push the buttons on a computer is a sutra work, I'm sorry. So therefore, according to your nature, I mean, people get jobs as computer operators. Why? Because it's the money. It's the money. Doesn't mean that's your propensity. But if you worked according to your propensity, and not according to what the social system gives in terms of economic interest, you'll be more happier, you know, like that. Money doesn't satisfy you. It's the work that'll satisfy you. It's the service that'll satisfy you. The money is just so you can live. Yeah, Janakinath. Go ahead and speak. I don't think it's going to work. Prabhupada said Vanashram has to be established in our farm communities. Yeah, yeah. It can be training and education. But to live a lifestyle, you have to go out to the farms. How are you going to live in the cities? The cities are meant for business, commerce, like that, as far as the varna activities are concerned. I mean, we can engage people according to the four varnas in the cities, yes. Yeah. But we shouldn't be living in the cities. Living in the cities means living in hell. You want to establish a society based on these four, not just perform the activities of the varnas, but you want to have a society, a community. And there's where the farm communities are fundamental for that. They're ideal. Yeah, for both the training and for the activity. Yeah, continue. Well, Prabhupada wanted the Vanashram College so people can be trained according to their nature. If you start training, your nature starts coming out, and then you start to easily understand what your nature is, and so does your teachers and evaluators. That's why the Vanashram College is there. But through what we say, expert evaluation, a guru or a temple president can see the nature of a particular person and engage him accordingly. But without the training, or without the education, sometimes these propensities lie dormant and they don't come out. Let's say that again, nice and loud. Yeah. Prabhupada gave the formula for the Vanashram College. All you have to do it. Some devotees are actually one or two Vanashram colleges somewhere, I think, in ISKCON. Huh? Prabhupada. Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's lectures. Prabhupada's given everything. If you listen to his lectures, you hear it over and over. He talks about it. Yeah, but if you really want it in a condensed version, March 14th, 1974, in a morning walk conversation in Vrindavan, he really put the whole thing in that one lecture. And the devotees are firing questions at Prabhupada. Again, in February 19th, I think it was 1976, in Mayapur, again, he had a special discussion on focusing on these. And there are many others. In the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, 10th chapter, verses 3 and 4, Prabhupada talks about this also. In many places he talks about this. Prabhupada was trying to do so much with so little time. He knew the first thing was to spread the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the Sankirtan movement. He said that will bring people to Krishna consciousness and spiritualize them, purify them. Now, how to engage them? If you're not engaged after a while, then you just leave and do your own thing somewhere. Engagement's important. How to serve. You want to know how to serve. Because the main part of our day is what? Service. That's what we're doing most of the day. It's not like we're sitting down and chanting all day. Yes, question. The formula. Yeah, 1974, March 14th. I know it's February 1976. It's a room conversation with Harisari Prabhu and who else was there? A few other devotees. But it was in Mayapur, February. I think it's February 19th, something like that. I'm not sure the date of that one. But there's other times Prabhupada also talked. But the March 14th one will really, really give you as much as you can handle. That's a lot. He talks about the Vanashram College there. Talks about the Brahmins being educators for all the other Varnas, to train all the other persons in work. That's a classical. That particular morning walk is classic. Yeah. Yes, Himanshu. Yeah. So? You can establish it here too. Engaging people according to guna and karma. But we're talking about living. Where are you going to live? You're going to live in these... Who's going to live in the ashram? How many people are going to live in the... Are you going to get the grihasthas to live in the ashram? Most people are family people. They have children. They have, So, if they live in the cities, what happens? They're just going to be affected by all this negativity. And they're not going to be able to do what they need to do. The farm communities are the future of our society and the future of the society in general. It's the way to live. It's natural life. And it's easier to establish the Vanashram system there. You can do it in the cities too. But what about your living conditions? You're still, how are you going to make a living? You got to go to work for somebody, right? So the farms are mostly for grihasthas. The brahmacharis and the sannyasis can travel and preach. And go in and out of the farms also. And stay some time, but go out. The grihasthas will stay there, maintain the farms, grow the crops, take care of the animals, build the buildings, set up a school for children, education. The whole society living in that type of environment, which is natural. It's a natural. And nature is rich. You can get so much from nature. All your herbs are there. All your medicine is there. Your fuel is there. It's all there in nature. Learning how to use nature. It's all there. God has provided everything. How did people live before? We're just rediscovering the wheel, that's all. It's already been discovered. We're just finding out about it again because we forgot it. Go outside, take a deep breath. See if you really feel exhilarated. When you get pure, clean air, you'll know the difference. You'll actually get intoxicated. It's so natural, yeah? Yes. We're not vanashramis, we're daivi vanashram. Daivi vanashram means you work according to your guna and karma, but you're chanting Hare Krishna and purifying yourself. So you're not only guna, you're not only sattva, you're sudha sattva. You're transcendental sattva. So if you have kshatriya qualities, which is fighting is not a brahminical quality, it's transcendental if it's used in devotional service. Anything used in devotional service is transcendental. Except sinful activities, you can't use those. So even, just like creativity is in the mode of passion. But creativity used in Krishna consciousness can do so many wonderful things to spread Krishna consciousness. But the devotees are no longer in the modes. We're above the modes, but we're acting according to certain characteristics that exhibit the qualities of certain modes. That's all. So this is daivi vanashram, not materialistic vanashram. It's different. But now on the highest platform, anybody can do any service. But to get to the highest platform, is not, you just can't surreptitiously expect everyone to be on the highest platform when they come into the society. They need training, they need education, they need to be engaged according to their nature. And then when you get on the highest platform, you can do whatever service you're asked to do. And you're not, there's no problem. Because your consciousness is fixed in transcendence. It's not a matter of, you know, what service you're doing anymore. You're just, because it's for Krishna, it's transcendental. But to get to that stage, we need to be engaged according to our propensities. And that's also emergency work, not necessarily something we do. When someone's transcendental, we just ask them to do whatever. No, if someone's good at something, then they should continue to do that. They can offer something wonderful to the society. We want the best cooks. We want the best pujaris. We want the best preachers. We want the cleanest temple. Prabhupada wanted everything so ideal that the word expert is one of the qualities of a devotee is expert at everything or expert at whatever they do. Be expert. That's all. He wanted quality in everything. And that's what it means to be a Vaishnava. So training is necessary, but along with that, training is spiritual education, purifying your consciousness. That's foremost. That's foremost. So, we're working towards it. The society is trying to figure out how to do it. But it'll happen because as the materialistic society falls apart, devotees will be groping and grappling for alternatives. But we shouldn't be waiting for that. There are some who are actively trying to establish these ideal or these more ideal living situations. Prabhupada said, you have your farms, You milk cows, you take that milk, you establish a restaurant. He wanted a restaurant for every city temple. And then that's a way of preaching. And then you bring the best vegetables and the finest milk. You make ghee from there. The food is so tasty. When people taste that, I want to join. It'll be like that, yeah. Have the best cooks and having the finest quality. How can people not want to join? That's preaching. So that's where the farm communities come in. They can supply so many wonderful, what we say, foodstuffs, natural resources to the temples. And that's on the tape too. Prabhupada talks about that too. So this is Prabhupada's vision for our society. Anything else? Any other questions? Yes. Derek? Yeah, there's mixed qualities. Let's see. Brahmins are in the mode of goodness. Kshatriyas are in the mode of passion. Vaishyas are mode of passion and ignorance, and Sudras are in the mode of ignorance. So the qualities overlap as far as the modes are concerned. So when a person has mixed tendencies, there's where the educational system comes and starts to help them understand where they can focus like that. A lot of the things that we've taken on is simply what we are trained to do by our materialistic society. It's not necessarily, you know, our nature. Sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. So there's where the educational system comes in to evaluate, or the guru to evaluate. All right, you're good at this and maybe you also have this tendency here. So the guru or the teacher will evaluate, this is probably to be the best service for you. And then it's not like everything is ideal. If a person may also switch after some training and seeing that they're not more suited for a better type of activity like that. But then again, the needs of the society is part of the evaluation program in terms of after evaluating, then we have to fit them into places that where they can do their service accordingly. So that's now it's always been, the temple needs you to do this. Do it. That's it. And that's the way it's been for years. And therefore people go away because they're not engaged properly or they're not trained properly, either in Varna or ashram. You know, a person is really, he's in the Brahmachari ashram for 400 years and he still can't get up in the morning. It means he's not really a brahmachari. So, you know, we just don't take time. Therefore, the first and foremost activity of the temples is how to engage and how to facilitate the needs of the devotees. Devotees are first. Services are secondary, but also important. Like that. So an evaluation program has to be there. Yeah. In the villages, the guru would see the disciple and evaluate. And like some gurus, when certain persons come to become their disciple, they say, you're not my disciple. Our natures are completely different. You wouldn't do good as a disciple for me. Find someone else. I know some gurus who do that. They turn away prospective disciples because they can see this person is just not suited for my kind of direction and training. Our natures are completely opposite. I know one devotee waited 10 years for one guru, and he wouldn't change. Finally, he got initiated by somebody else. So that's another consideration. If a guru can see, this person is just not going to be a good disciple. But maybe if they have a different spiritual master, they will be. So that's concern for the disciple and like that. Yes. It has to be organized. It's not, where can we find it? Well, we still need to organize that system. It's being done on an ad hoc basis right now. The temple presidents and leaders are trying to see how best to engage people. But without the educational system, there's always some, what we say, defect. There's always some lack. When you have the educational system, then the leaders don't have to worry about that so much. It's the trainers who will be evaluating and educating people. So we don't have much of that today. But in certain places in the world, something is going on. In India, in certain places, it's going on. In our Gurukuls, in Mayapur, in Vrindavan, it's going on. Like that. And Gurukul is also part of an ashram. That's a big part. To send kids to Karmi schools is pretty much to punish them. It's like you put a seed in the ground, you water it, the plant grows, and then when it grows a little bit, you take the plant and you just start, you know, putting poison on it. Send these kids to these public schools, it's hell. It's simply hell. What did they learn? How to blow up your car. Right. It's just wild in those public schools, yeah? There's no education there. If there is, it's just like, the only thing you get out of schools is discipline. That's the only thing you get out of. You don't get any education out of school. Now, because we don't have that, the mothers can't wait till the kids grow up so they can go to school so the mothers can have some peace. The schools are like babysitters, but then the kids come home with all kinds of ideas that are strange, you know. Really, it's just if you see this month's copy of Back to Godhead magazine, there's an article there about the Gupta family. Aruta Gupta, she wrote this book, Homeschooling Your Children. Right? And I was just with the family about 2 weeks ago, and she was telling me, I got invitations from all over the world. I can't keep up with them. She's a very domestic lady. She's taking care of a temple. She's got grandchildren. And so she's got a lot of other things going. But now after she wrote that book, and she's an example for homeschooling, she's getting invitations to go everywhere. And then she also travels once in a while and does something. But people are interested in now. Because they know these public schools are horrible. Right? You didn't go to public school, did you? At the beginning or later on? How many years did you go? You started homeschooling in high school. Wow. So it was like, what was the reason why your parents decided to do it in high school?
Uh-huh.
When Mataji came, Aruda Mataji did the seminar in Chicago. That's right, many years ago. Then that was the inspiration for your parents. Yeah, that was good. And your younger sister, she's homeschooled all the way, right? Third grade, yeah. Yeah, it's important. What did you learn in public schools? Rated X, you don't talk about it. Yeah, what do you learn? You know, you just learn. It's nothing. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, materialistic education makes a person into an ass. So, yeah, it's a big part of an ashram is training children. Big part. It's the future. Read the article if you get a chance. It's in this month's Back to Godhead magazine, but the book's also available. Books like this. She covers a lot. She's intelligent in the sense that it's just not about how to homeschool. It's all the dynamics about bringing up a children in this age. All the dynamics. Okay, Van Ashram. Okay, I think we used up our time. I didn't get to the other topic, but we can do that tomorrow. Anything else before we end? Yes, Leela Manjari? That's your saving grace, yeah. Yeah, but sometimes you can't follow the instructions because of the situation. Or it's difficult. You want to follow the instructions, but because of having to take care of children or having to make a living or having to live in a very, what we say, compromised situation, following the instructions of the spiritual master becomes like impossible in some cases. Or the instructions have to be tempered in order to fit your situation, which may not be ideal for your spiritual growth. Sometimes we have to do that. You know, one of the things that gets me is that I have some disciples who are young ladies who are not married, who are working. They can't live in the temple. They're not able to find a husband, at least at this particular situation. They have to maintain themselves. So they're working and they have their own apartment. And sometimes they're living alone and just going to work. They go to the temple whenever they can. So that's the best situation amongst all the problems, you know. But that's not the idea. The idea would be that, okay, if she's not married, it'd be nice to have a few ladies living together and they can share their responsibilities and they each can work a little bit like that. That would be a little better. The other thing would be to live in the temple, but sometimes the temples are not always able to take people, or people don't want to live in the temple for certain reasons. So we're always compromising the ideal, and then it becomes, the compromise becomes the standard, like that. Yeah. Your point is correct, but then again, you have to see what else in your life is there that makes it hard to follow the instructions. Yes. Lo-chan, you had a question? Yeah. That was a joke. But it's a pretty correct joke. In other words, Brahmachari, in terms of its definition, means under the guidance of the spiritual master. There's no such thing as an independent brahmachari. That's like saying, give me some hot ice cream. There's no such thing as an independent brahmachari. It just doesn't have any philosophy to it. Brahmachari means strictly adhering to the obedience and discipline of the spiritual master. And that's training. Brahmachari is training. And without that training, how will they make good grihasthas? Or how will they make good devotees? So that's training. Independent brahmachari means you're doing what your mind tells you to do. At least half the time, anyway. So therefore, brahmachari means living in the temple or connected with the temple and traveling around and preaching. But that comes with training also. Before someone does that, they should be trained a little bit. So brahmachari means ashram life. It's ashram life. Like you go to our temple in London, we have 28 brahmacharis there living in our London temple. In Chalpanti, we have 125 brahmacharis. But brahmacharis don't live outside. They may travel and preach, but they don't have residence somewhere in the society. If you live outside, that means you're not, because you're not married, you're not a grihastha, and you're not brahmachari, you're in a marginal stage. You can do something, but you should see, okay, this is my situation now. Now, which way am I going to move? Generally, if you're living outside, better to get married, if that's your desire. It says living with a wife, living in a home without a wife is not grihastha life. Living with a wife in a home, that's grihastha life. But this is a social phenomenon of Kali Yuga. That's all it is. Yeah. Too old to be married? Then you can move into the temple and do some service. Or go to a holy place and do some service. A lot of devotees do that. If you got some children, well, okay. Yeah, it's just a difficult situation. The wife's no longer there, right? Really, but not really? Well, the wife also has to take care of the... Yeah, you just have to make the best use of the situation. It's not ideal, but if you're chanting Hare Krishna, reading the books, and doing some devotional service, you can make progress. You can make progress. It's difficult. Yes. Women who are not married and they're living in the temple. Well, Prabhupada established women living in the temple. And he called it, you know, it was a creation of ISKCON that we have what is called Brahmacharini. Now, in Vedic culture, the word doesn't exist, Brahmacharini. That means an unmarried woman who is a student working under the guidance of the temple authorities like that. So she's training, she's serving like that. But it says most women should get married. There's a few rare ones. But women do better. Women do better married. Men do better not married. Generally. That's what Prabhupada said that. He said all the women should get married and all the men should remain brahmachari. And then the leaders said, and then he turned to the leaders and said, it's up to the leaders to figure out how to do that. You can find that statement. So, yeah. I mean, there's some men who should get married. But if you can stay in spiritual life and avoid it, it's the best thing. But women do better in married life, generally. Because that's their nature. Their nature is to bore children. And therefore, until they do that, and they have their womanhood doesn't really blossom. And usually later in life, they become really, really wonderful devotees. But they have to go through that stage. So, unless they're going through that stage, if they're living outside and working, it's really very difficult to practice spiritual life like that for a lady. Extremely difficult. Because men are just looking at women. That's all they do. It's a hobby of men, just to look at women. And therefore, it's pretty much, of course we have a society now of the independent woman, the self-reliant woman. She can take charge of her life. And the workforce kind of builds women up that. You see women in the workforce, they're not happy. Unless they have a good husband and they're married and they're out in the workforce, they're not happy. They're generally not happy. And they're not satisfied. You sorry you asked that question? Yeah. So, but the point is, yeah. And they, I mean, there's ashrams for ladies too. In India, they have ashrams for ladies. We haven't established that. Malati's trying to do something, and she established the Columbus Temple one time as an ashram for women. And she did some good work there and trained some girls. They grew up nicely in spiritual life and then got married like that. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.